Well, Jason shared in the first service, and you did a good job, Jason. So I have a standard to try to live up to now, so we will give it an effort. We're in Philippians chapter 3. Paul, he writes this letter to the Philippians from a Roman prison. And he writes it while chained to a Roman guard. Paul is in waiting for Caesar to hear his case. And Paul doesn't know if life or death is on the horizon. So for us to read the Philippian letter, it will give us some insight onto Paul and the way he chose to live out his life in a happy way, in a glorious way. This letter in Philippians is written to bishops and deacons and pastors, or the church leaders there in Philippi. We will center our study on chapter 3, and that deals with Paul's state of mind. He's in prison, and what kind of attitude does Paul now have? He's chained to this Roman guard, and if for all practical reasons, Paul should be downcast. He's in prison, but he's there, and he's upbeat. So let's read Philippians 3, 1-6. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilations. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal and persecuting the church, concerning the righteousnesses in the law, I was blameless. Paul begins this third chapter with the word finally. And then he continues two more chapters before he closes. Typical preacher. And he says, brethren, rejoice. Paul writes not about his circumstance, whether they're good or bad. And we can sometimes be found to be downcast because we live in a time of inflation. We live in a time where our leaders are godless. And we can become despondent and we can become troubled by the outside effects of our society. Paul says, beware of dogs. Now, he's not talking about little Fifi. Dogs in Paul's day were deplorable, not trusted, shampooed pets. A dog in Paul's day was an animal of disgust. A dog is mentioned as one who returned to his vomit. A few years back, we made a trip down to Baja, California, in Mexico. And they make fences out of anything and everything they can find to keep wild dogs out of their yard and protect their children. And in Paul's day, many Jews referred to us Gentiles as dogs. Not a glorious observation whatsoever. And he goes on to say, beware of evil workers. Today we kind of change that a little bit and we say, beware of evil politicians. talking with some Christians here in the South, and they have a kind of a sordid view of California Christians. I've been asked, are there really Christians in California? Yeah, there are. Are they all liberals? Are they all anti-God? Well, not really. But the government leaders in California, they're something else. But Christians are in a minority in California. The liberals rule the state, and they're there in their politics. And Paul goes on to say, not only beware of evil workers and evil politicians, you might say, beware of mutilations. And Paul isn't speaking about a nose ring or a pierce in the cheek or something. He's speaking of circumcision. For there were Hellenistic Jews who taught to be truly saved, circumcision was a must. Paul will go on to say, be circumcised of heart. Let it be an inward circumcision, an inward cutting away of the flesh. But Paul goes on to say that cutting away the flesh does not make a person righteous. And today there are legalistic Christians who think a true Christian should be stoic and sad, not joyful. And we've all ran into them. And they preach a true Christian should abstain from all joyful activities. And for heaven's sakes, don't smile. And they will wear their Sunday best to come to church on Sunday morning. I have you know, on a Wednesday night, I was sitting out front of the church, killing a little time before our service. One of our people drove up, and he said, you look like a vagrant. Thanks, brother. But that was Wednesday evening. I get dressed up for Sundays. Look here. Years ago, when we first started, I wore a tie and usually a white shirt. So that got old real quick, though. But Paul, in verse 4, he tells us, if confidence in the flesh is required, if that's a status that we need, then I myself, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day according to the Jewish law, if flesh could make me righteous, I am righteous. And he said, I was even a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were the most strict of the Mosaic law. And then he says, and even though I was raised a Jew, I persecuted the early Christian church out of my zeal. And if obeying the law could make you righteous, then I, Paul, was righteous. He was righteous concerning the law of Moses. His outward conduct was pleasing to all the Jews. But Paul continues in verse 7 of chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I was whom I have suffered loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul could not look upon and consider himself in good standing because he obeyed the law. As a Pharisee, he was lawful. He obeyed the Torah. He obeyed the Ten Commandments. But as a man before Christ, his lawfulness, as he says, was rubbish. Not even to be looked upon in any good way. Paul knew and understood he needed more than the law for a right standing before God. And so do you and I. Paul admitted that the Mosaic law fell short. We need more than rules and regulations for a right standing with our Lord. Every now and again, I hear from people who were caught up into their salvation, walking the aisle experience. And they looked upon when they became a Christian as their stand before God as righteous. I have a question for those people. How about today? What's going on in your life today? Are you still excited about Jesus? Is your relationship alive today? Paul's past, when he looked on his past, it was impeccable according to the law. But since having known Jesus up close and personal, he understood and realized the law was not sufficient. So the question becomes, for you and I, where are we today? Are we abiding with our Lord today? In Luke 13, Jesus tells a parable of a man planting a fig tree. He comes to that fig tree and he looks for fruit, and he finds none. And he told one of his servants, "For 3 years I have come looking for fruit and found none. Cut this tree down. It only takes up space." But the servant says, "Lord, hold on. Give me one more year with this fig tree. I will dig around it. I will fertilize it, and if the tree still does not bear fruit in a year, well and good, cut it down. If it doesn't bear fruit after I put all this care into it, feel free to cut it down, Lord." And as believers, you and I, as Christians, are to be fruitful. When the Lord comes to us, he looks for fruit to be coming out of our life. He looks for love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Does he find that when he looks upon us? We are to be fruitful. We're called to be fruitful. We are created for God's own good pleasure. Allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate us like the man did the fig tree, to dig around us, to root out evil behavior, expose sin that needs to be repented of. In other words, the Lord wants us to be sanctified before him. He wants us to be fruitful. When we first found salvation and as we grow and mature in the Lord, we're to be fruitful. It's to be ongoing. We are not allowed the pleasure or privilege to live in our past. So we are told, stir up your faith. Stir yourselves up to become of use to the Lord. Verse 10, Paul can now say, "I want to know Jesus in his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings." And here we are this morning, celebrating Resurrection Sunday. We are allowed to see Jesus and to experience that his power is real. We have no greater power in us than that of the resurrection demonstrated to us through resurrection. Resurrection gives us hope. For a person to be born again, Jesus said, you got to believe that I live, that I'm alive. You got to believe that I overcome death, that I came back to life. And that is the power of resurrection, that our Lord lives. So by the power of God, hang on to resurrection. Jesus rose from the grave. He defeated death. And Paul, he says, I gladly suffer persecution by identifying with Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Paul didn't avoid suffering. He wore it like a badge. I suffer for my Lord. I fill up the sufferings of Christ. Suffering gives us an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus. Have you ever looked upon your sufferings in that way? I am now being called upon to be a witness of the grace of Jesus by suffering for him and with him. We live in a world where Christianity is becoming more and more old-fashioned or obsolete. Christians are to be more and more contrary to the popular opinions of our society. Do you find yourself being at odds with the world that we live in? I do. We're to be different from the world. Our world as a whole rejects a resurrected Jesus. Yet it's the core of our belief. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And this is where I look for a response. Jesus is alive, and I say to you, Jesus is risen. Good job. And with that, I close. We celebrate today. Go forth. Go forth in the opportunity to serve, be a witness of his resurrection, and if called upon, suffer for Christ, if that's what he's got for us. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you did not spare your own son. And we even read that it pleased you for him to suffer for our benefit. So Lord Jesus, as we look upon the cross and look upon you being in the grave 3 days and three nights, and yet you came forth alive, raised by your Father, defeating death, we rejoice. We're so glad that you defeated death for us, Lord. And so, if called upon, we want to be a witness of the resurrection. And if, like Paul, we're called upon to suffer, we want to suffer gladly. We want to suffer as a badge of honor, just being one of your people, one of your children, suffering along with what you suffered, Lord. So help us to have an attitude of selflessness, Lord. Let us be about you and your kingdom in a world that really rejects you still, Lord. Let us be a voice of truth. We pray for that, Lord. So go before us, and we ask this. We ask this in your name, Jesus.